Welcome to Sunday Service with Dr. Paula Price. Take a seat, open up your Bible, and prepare to enjoy an evening of praise, worship, revelation, and insight as Dr. Price releases pearls of wisdom from the throne of God. Tonight's praise and worship is presented by Prophet Ursula Wright. Visit www.uwright.com for her ministry contact and booking information. Again, that's www.uwright.com.
Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, and just to know the said the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, and how I prove Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, and oh, for grace to trust Him more. I'm so glad I've learned to trust Thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that Thou art with me, will be with me to the end. Forever, Jesus. Can't you just feel your trust mounting up? Can't you just feel your faith mounting up on wings even as the eagles? For they that wait upon the Lord, He shall renew their strength. And it's in your presence, Lord, that there is the fullness of joy. It's in your presence that I can know thus saith the Lord.
Ephesians 4:12. Father, we thank You today for who You are. We thank You for why You are. We thank You for all of the things that You're doing. We thank You, Lord, for counting us faithful, putting us in Your service, calling us from darkness to light, calling us into Your glory, and Lord, into the wisdom and prudence of Your truth. Lord, sometimes we may have Your truth, but we don't have it in wisdom, and certainly we are not prudent in our understanding and application of Your truth. So God, I thank You for helping us go from glory to glory, strength to strength, and faith to faith. I praise You for today. I ask that You would get glory out of every word, and that Your soul would be touched, Lord, and that it would be rejoiced in our growth and our strengthening and in our development. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. God wanted me to give you this word. So I was thinking about it. One of the things that He wanted us to understand is what this is all about. You know, we are an equipping church. Now, a lot of churches say they're equipping. And they really mean it. They mean when you get a word on Sunday, it's a teaching word. when you get a word, you know, when you get your Bible studies and whatever. But, we may not know what equipping is. You know, we may not know what equipping is. We may not understand what God is going after. And I have found out that when you don't know what God is going after, then you balk and bristle and fuss about everything. Because we're raised in a world that's hostile to us, hostile to our individuality, hostile to our uniqueness, hostile to our visions, hostile to our dreams. And most of us are raised in a point in a world where no matter what we want, it doesn't happen. And so then you come to God. And it seems like he's attacking you. It seems like every time you turn around, he's on your case or something else about you that you had thought you'd settled is wrong. And so I have learned in my time with the Holy Ghost and in my growth with God, I have learned that if I take time to ask God what he's going after and understand that he's not trying to fix me just because I don't please him, but he's trying to equip me so that I can help others achieve. So I want to say that again. That's a note I want you to get. He's not trying to fix you because you don't please him. Because the Bible says very clearly, we're accepted in the beloved. So that's not what he's going after. He's trying to equip you so that you can help others achieve. Whether it's achieve victory in their lives, whether it's achieve the Christ outlook, whether it's to achieve the purpose for which they were born, whatever that is, your whole process in God is that you would help others achieve what God called them to do. And many times we judge God on the basis of our private devotions instead of his intention to use us in public ministry. Because you notice God treats you differently when you're in prayer. You know, he's understanding, he's sensitive. Yeah, I love you. We're going to do fine. This is great. And then all of a sudden he calls you to his service and acts like he hates you. It's like, what happened? We were fine 2 years ago. You know, and every time you turn around, it's like if you're not stumbling, then it's almost like he's picking at you. And he really is. He's picking at the minister. He's loving on the child. He's building up the child, but he is developing the servant. And see, it's the servant aspect of our lives that will cause us to make people fail. It's servanthood that will make. See, you'll be fine if you can, you know, if you can sit around and have those little prayer parties all day long. You're fine. But God is dealing with the servanthood aspect of our lives because most of us have not been raised to serve. And so generally speaking, we do well what we admire. I want to repeat that. We do well what we admire. What we admire about another servant, we do well. What we despise about what another servant does, we won't do. Now, why is that important? Well, frankly, it's important because that means that it's all about you. It's servanthood according to your sentimentality, according to your approval. But the Bible says we are to be a workman, what? Not ashamed. We are to be a workman that's approved unto God. In other words, God is trying to get you into a place that your service is approved by him. And if you can get that in your heart, then a lot of your frustrations over what's God, what's right, what's the preachers, what's not, what's the pastors, what's not the pastor, what's the leadership, what's not the leadership, because all of that is crazy, only because you see yourself as a devotional saint instead of a minister to equip. It's perspective. You are to equip people for the work of ministry. We are an apostolic house. Half of you all are in leadership training every Sunday night. And if you don't go back there tonight with this perspective, you're going to still miss God. Your job. That's what he's saying. Ephesians 4:11. For God has given some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, pastors and teachers. For what? For the equipping of the saints, or the perfecting. The first word was perfecting. We changed it to equipping. But the original word was for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. God's goal is that everybody work in the ministry. You may not all be called to pulpit ministry, but you are all called to minister Jesus Christ. to break off Jesus Christ for others, to dispense him for others, to give people the image of Christ. That means rightly represent him. Your question then, the question that you might want to ask yourself is, when it comes to ministry, when it comes to me being, when it comes to ministry, and when it comes to me being able to achieve that goal, what is it about my present outlook and my present perceptions and performance that will help or hinder this goal? Now, this is not something I came up with, but I'm going to show you what that entails. What is it? How do I view leadership? Do I view it as a help to Christ or a hindrance to Christ? How do I view my requirements? How do I view my transformation? You know, you have to be transformed into leadership. Leadership doesn't just fall on you. We have a few naturals, but most of them are not natural. Because church doesn't get a lot of natural leaders, because a lot of natural leaders can't stay in the church. So we always have to create what we need. And we have to create that in you. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Every time you have an issue, you need to ask yourself, where am I and my difficulty in this objective? Ask yourself. Because if you look at that, not a piece of that is about you or me. It's about the saints. It's about the work of ministry. It's about the body of Christ. Do you see that? It's about saints, work of ministry, body of Christ. The unique thing about being a leader, if you are meant to be a leader, people don't have to tell you why you exist. If people have to tell you why you exist as a leader, you are not a leader. Because a leader is supposed to tell others why they exist. If folk got to keep saying, you're a leader, that's because you're a leader. This is required because you're a leader, because you call a leadership. If they have to keep saying that, you're not called. And somebody probably needs to make that dividing line for you. Because there's a reason why you're a leader. You lead. You're out front. If you have to be told what out front means, if you have to be explained every time there's something, well, it's because you're in leadership. If you have to be rebuked because of your leadership, then you're not thinking like a leader. And if you're not thinking like a leader, you will not act like one. Leaders see problems not as obstacles or barriers. Leaders see problems as opportunity. And you should write that down. Leaders see problems as opportunities. You know, we were just talking about this. This is a problem for him. His thing is, that's going away. That's all. A leader will say, that's going away. Weekly, we see different leaders in our ministry who just handle problems. They do it so well, you think they do nothing. The mark of a leader is not how hard they make the job look to you, but how seamless their contribution is. The more you see what a leader does, the less they're actually doing. Isn't that nice to know? Doesn't that help you? If every time you turn around, you got to see them running, huffing, puffing, and scurrying, and making a great... Most leaders resolve things so easily, you never knew it was a crisis. So let me tell you something. Leadership exists to solve God's problems. That means any obstacle that would hinder the saints, the work of ministry, and the edifying of the body, God will put a leader over it. We don't exist to show off. We don't exist to even fulfill our destiny. You know, many times we've been taught that, and that's why people don't care about what we need. Leadership is not existing to fulfill your destiny. You fulfill your destiny by answering your call to leadership and doing a great job. Your destiny can't fail if you're in your place. Your destiny can't fail if you're not just sitting in a place. Many people think time served is quality produced. Well, I've been here for 4 years, and hear this. You have a goal. It doesn't make a difference what I say. It doesn't make a difference what Pastor Ken says. It doesn't make a difference what any of the staff ministers and leaders say. In the end, this is your agenda in heaven. In the end, God used this. He weighs this to decide whether to promote you or to hold you back or to remove you, to bless you or to just stagnate you. What do you do for the saints in your position? And what work of ministry are you equipping them for? That doesn't just mean mopping floors, although that's included. It also means getting their hearts ready to serve the Lord. It means helping them confront their fears and their insecurities and sense of inadequacy and replacing that with equipment. You are to equip them. Why? To what? To edify the body of Christ. That's our job, to equip the saints to build up the body. So we're going to look at that. So I looked up this word, katatismos. Now, this is an interesting term, so I want you to look at all of these words because that's your job description. That's the objectives. In other words, when God measures you, these are the results that he's looking for in every life you touch as a leader. Every life. Number one, completely furnish. That word means completely furnished. That means that as much as we might be here and saying this sanctuary, since we've been here for a month, is nice, it's not completely furnished. So it's not equipped, it's not perfected. There are things we have to do, and weekly we as leaders are meeting and talking about it and trying to find out how to make it happen. Think about that as a person who comes to you from the world, a person who comes to you from a crisis, they are devastated. All of their equipment in life is just downright destroyed. They don't have a sense of identity. They don't feel confident or secure. They feel broken down. They feel like they're the last thing God ought to use. They've been probably beaten down by parents and other authority figures who have led them to believe that they have no valid contribution to life. Well, you need to know people enough to be able to overturn that. You need to be able, hallelujah, to help people restore. You know, the Bible says that we ought to help people recover all. Well, you can't help people recover materially what you haven't helped them recover spiritually or psychologically. You've got to know the soul of people. We've been on this journey about the dominion of the mind, that you would get a sense of people's souls. And when God is pushing them in one area and they feel like he's pushing them too hard, you've got to be in a position to tell them what God is doing. And then when he's hindering them in another area, you've got to be in a position to tell them so that they understand that it's not about their judgment or about their rejection or about their somehow failure with God, but it's about their readiness to achieve his purposes in other lives. We're so caught up in our own purposes, we do not understand that we must align our activities with the purpose that God has in other lives. We're not the only life he has a purpose in. Matter of fact, your purpose, if you are put out front in any kind of leadership capacity, the purpose of others is your occupation. Seeing to it that they fulfill purpose, seeing to it that they perfect purpose, seeing to it that their purposes make sense to them so that they'll obey it. Because you know, when people can't understand it, they can't do it. I'm going to tell you right now, they just frozen. They don't have a clue. They're like, what? And so as we go forward in the things of God, you have got to recognize the fundamentals of leadership is this. You have got to identify where they lack. They call them in business and in professional environment. You must be able to identify people's deficiencies and weaknesses. I didn't say criticize. I said identify. You have to identify the weaknesses and deficiencies that obstruct their ability to do their job for which you have them in your life. I have a rule. When I cease to touch your life, I cut you off. I've said that. Have I not said that? How many times? When you cease to respond to me, you cease to allow me to pour into your life, when you cease to allow me to train you, when you cease to comply or conform, then I'm assuming that my assignment in your life is over. And I will tell you that I have nothing else to give you. You need to go on. Why? Because I'm not here for me. I go back to perfecting of the saints. That's my job. I don't think about what I'm doing first. When you can tell a leader wakes up in the morning putting their position in place, putting their job in place, getting their tools ready, getting their resources ready. Not, oh Lord, not another day. Most leaders will not go to sleep at night unless they have somehow even mentally adjusted tomorrow. That's a leader. When you're thinking all you want to do is drop off the planet and hide out under your pillows, you are not a leader. You're an escaper. Because that's what a leader does. A leader is, and I'm telling you, they understand. See, they are purpose driven. Purpose driven means you are project or occupation driven. I don't care how much the church tell you, that's not true in all the world. That's the way it is. And so you always think your responsibility and your duty first. You do it every day. When you get up and go to work, I don't care how bad your life is. When you get up to go to work, you've got to wake up in the morning and think about your duty and responsibility to that job. Is that true? You cannot wake up and say, well, you know, I'm sorry. I didn't get enough sleep last night. You know, well, you know, life's different. I really don't feel well today. Uh-uh. That's laziness and that's sloth. You don't know that's what you call it. But the Bible says that people are poor because of how they perform. The hand of the diligent will prosper. The sluggard is so bad he won't even pull his hand out of his chest to pick up the food. That's pretty bad.
Hi, this is Prophet Ashley. Luke 6 tells us to give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. Because you've been blessed by today's message, go to www.drpaulaprice.com and click on Sow a Seed. And now for the continuation of today's message.
You hungry, you won't even pull your arm. You need to be, you know, intravenous feeding. Now, it says here to complete thoroughly. Now, hear this. To complete thoroughly. That means that the word complete is not finished. And leaders understand the difference between completion and finish. See, completion speaks to inwardly full. Finish speaks to outwardly polished or refined. So completion cannot happen, or people cannot fulfill a purpose if they're not complete, but they can present themselves if they're refined. And a lot of us are finished and not complete. We look good on the outside. We're glowing. We're shining. We're spiff. We can do the songs, you know. We can play church. But when God puts that pressure of that call upon you, and he puts in that the pressure of that call, all of the requirements for that assignment in your spirit and in your soul, and then release you to his invisible agents and his visible ones. Because see, we want to obey God invisibly. We don't want to do what's required of us visibly. The Lord knows my heart. It's not about your heart. This is about your call. It's about your service. It's about your duty. It's about your obligation. It's never about you when you're leading. Did you not see? For the what? Equipping of this is not about you. It isn't. When I get a headache, it's still not about me. And here's how I say it. God, I have a headache. We got to. A leader's always saying, I got to go in. I must be about Jesus. I must be about my Father's business. That's his objective. And if it's about 55 things before you get to your calling, you're not a leader. Can you imagine a corporation hiring a CEO who had everything under the sun before the good or the best interest of the organization? That's leaders. They're about the organization. They're about what you've been seeing here, making this look properly, bringing it week after week into a different look so that the people can see it's getting finished, completing what's lacking in it weekly, in the painting and the refinement, and then seeing it not only with the eye of what they've done, but seeing it with the eye of the people who are coming in and haven't seen that. You don't decorate because and call your decorations finished or your projects finished because it looks good to you. You finish when it serves other people's needs. That's when you're finished. You know, and so I want you to hear that. The next thing, to repair. I started this by saying people are broken. People are broken, and broken people break people. Wounded people wound people. Hurting people hurt people. Whatever you do, whatever you feel inside, you will do to others all the time. If you criticize yourself a lot, you will criticize others. If the first thing you see about anything you do is a negative, then you will always see nothing but the negative about others when you encounter them. If your first word, if you find it hard to encourage people, that's because you haven't had any encouragement. And unless you are a strong leader who rises above the problems of your folk, see, because that's what we have to do as leaders, you got to rise above people's issues. Because see, they want to project their issues on you. So you got to recognize what an issue is. Because you might think of it as a personality and it's not. There's a difference. We got to know the difference between a personality and an issue. We got to know the difference between a temperament and an issue. There's some of y'all temperament that's really rough. And I could work on it for 25 years. It's going to be the same. So I have to recognize that's personality. So we have to know the difference between traits and issues. And we have to recognize that. You know what I said to a person once? Because, you know, I have a very strong personality. Of course, y'all didn't know that. And so they decided that they were going to do this refinement thing. And I said, you know what? You can't critique a person's personality until you discover their purpose. You will never accurately critique a person's personality until you discover their purpose. Now, this person builds people and does a great job at it. And that was news to them. Because when you critique people according to how they affect you, okay, then you're not able to perfect, equip, or develop. You must first find a person's purpose. For example, if I can just walk through some examples. For example, if you're looking for a police officer, what type of personality do you want? Anybody? Yell it out. Strong. What else? Focus. Yes. What else? Attentive. Anything else? Sound in mind. What else? Resolute. Anything else you need? Trained. Anything else? Discipline. Honest. But don't you also need him to be courageous? Can you imagine the cop coming saying, I'm sorry, I'm scared of guns? I don't think you'll feel real good. How about you need him to be violent? Never thought of that, did you? You need him to be violent because you don't need a nonviolent cop when you are getting mugged. I don't care that I didn't ask him to be destructive. I didn't ask him to be bloodthirsty. I didn't ask him to be murderous. But I need you to be violent. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force. So he's looking for violent kingdom takers. And you all keep looking for pacifists. So when you are encountering a strong leader, the first thing you want to do is change us into a pacifist. And then you want us to protect you. Then you want us to prosper you. And you want us to not hurt you. And you want us to build you up. And you want us to perfect you. And you want us to perfect you the way you want to be perfected. So I said to this person, I'm a general. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't think many countries want a general. All right, I think I've made my point. Let's take this example a little further. You want a nurse. What are you looking for in a nurse? Caring. What else? Not afraid of blood. Hey, on both of them. Patient. Smart. Compassionate. How about tenderhearted? Lenient. Indulgent. Merciful. Now, do you want those characters in your cop? Why not? You need to have them. They need to have the predisposition for them if the situation arises, but you don't want a violent nurse. Is that not true? I can't wait for that nurse to slam dunk me after I get my surgery. Bang! You don't want a super strong nurse. You want a firm nurse. I need you firm, but I need my cop strong. So you can't judge people until you've identified their purpose. Did this help anybody? So a lot of the folks you criticize, and you need to find out if they are suited for their purpose. So you may not need them in your life every day, but you do have a place in your life where they're needed. You got somebody who's supposed to be a TV personality who's shy, can't stand in front of people and can't speak. That can't work. You're not going to invest in that. You need somebody to help folk break free. You don't need folk to just pet their issues. You need somebody that's going to say, this is the standard. This is the boundary. This is the wall. Don't hit it. And I like two things. You need folk who are focused and clear and have the presence of mind to keep the organization and their duty to it at the forefront. Focused and clear. It's hard being a leader. If it's easy, you're not doing anything. Is it hard? Your stuff is the last thing anybody care about. Anybody interested in your issue, they don't care. They will write your card, send you some flowers to encourage you so you're strong enough to take their next problem on. Is it the truth or not? Y'all love me dearly as y'all come to my house with some Advil when I got a headache and a cold. We love you so much, Dr. Price, here. What you do with a leader, you will indulge everybody else, but with a leader, you bring them restoration and you bring them strength because you know you don't need them down. So you can't judge a leader by your reaction to them. How's that? Some of you all folk fuss about y'all all the time. I crack up. I'm like, no, that's just what they need. When they get ready to get into purpose, that's going to fit. Sometimes your traits and your faculties and your resources for your calling overwhelm others before your anointing can balance it. So it's like a little kid that's real talented and you could tell this kid is going to be great in life, but they're still a kid. And the only one that doesn't know that they're still a kid is the kid. The kid is like, I don't know what your problem is. Why? What did I say? Because you're trying to say, go through the process, submit to the process. Walk the journey. That kid is not going to be any different when they're older. Jesus was 12 years old, astounding the leaders of his day. He's a kid. But his greatness was overwhelming even his childhood, his youthfulness. Some of you all in the spirit, your call to greatness is overwhelming your whole existence, and so you're antagonizing. When you are not under the control of a developer, your resources for your purpose antagonize everybody because they're too big and their season hasn't come. Jesus kept saying over and over again, my time has not yet come. This is not my time. And if you have strong leadership and you have a strong mentor, you will submit that thing and you'll do what Jesus did at age 12. The Bible said he shut up. He was subject to them until the time came. Is it me or does this make sense? Some of you all are operating your future now. And it's clashing with your present. Your obligation to your future right now is readiness. Learning to be used. Learning to be equipped. Discovering what makes you work and discovering what your work is going to exist for in its proper time. Nobody likes a fresh mouth kid until 40 years later when that kid rules the world. Am I making sense to you? Well, your job as a leader is to recognize that and to make sure that they don't get crushed, chipped, and broken up before they get to a point that they can be nurtured and they can get to a point that they can operate as they are. It means to adjust. God expects that you would identify the things that have to be adjusted, aligned, corrected with people. So a lot of times we just out of adjustment. You know, you get, you know, in the chiropractic world, you get a bone out, it'll knock everything else out. You have to be in alignment. People are sometimes out of line for the position that they're either called to or they're occupying. You aren't adjusted. You, in other words, the position requires you to be this way, and you keep coming at it this way. So somebody has to adjust and balance it, and it starts with your perspectives. I like this word. It has to be fitted. It means to fit. When you're equipping people, you are fitting them or outfitting them. Fitting them and outfitting them for their call. You don't have the luxury of saying, that's just the way he is, but that's just the way she is. Well, I'm sorry. I got to let you be who you are. I got to let you be who you are in the pew. I will let you be yourself in the pew all day long. I'll let you be yourself in the pew for 55 years, but I will not put you over people. If you are not fitted for the task. Now let me give you some ideas. If you're one of those people who keep forgetting everything, then you're not thinking about your duty and your responsibility. Your mind is elsewhere. See, your mind has got to be focused on the task at hand. Clear on the task at hand. The highest thought in your mind when you're under pressure, it will tell what kind of a person you are and what kind of a leader you are. Your first thought under pressure reveals what or who you serve. That's what Jesus said. I didn't make it up. I wish I was smarter. I'm not. So when you get that phone call and says, hey, so-and-so is going on, if you're a leader, the first thing you do is what? Set things in order. Cover your bases. Is that right? Is that what we do? Some of you all, you get a flat tire and don't even call in, let us know you ain't coming. We sitting here waiting. We waiting, and then you come and say, well, I had an emergency. No, leaders manage everything. That's leaders. Followers are like, well, there's nothing I could do. That's bottom line, equipping the saints. Now, if you don't do it like that, here's the deal. The people who follow you will follow you. Does anybody know what I just said? The people who follow you will follow you. That means how you handle your task is how they both handle it and respond to it. So if you are a leader and you are to perfect and equip for the work of ministry, then you have to see to it that people never have a skewed view of what God has sent them to do in the planet. That's your call. That's my call. That's all leaders' call. That's the call to your president. You know, you think about JFK, while they were trying to clean up the mess in his car, they were swearing in a replacement. Is that right? And this woman that has to stand on the plane with the replacement while her husband lay dead somewhere, she doesn't know where, and she's got to stand there representing the change of authority. Because good leaders never leave a power void. I want to say that because if you don't get anything else about how God thinks, and I'll show it to you biblically, good leaders never leave a power void. Say it. Good leaders never leave a power void. So if you leave a power void, you are not a leader. You are a squatter. Because you don't understand why your position exists. Leaders cover positions. It's the position that has the requirements. It's the position that has the authority. It's the position that has a demand. You as a person cover that. The position covers the other areas in the organization. So if you are a good leader, your first thought is cover your position. Cover your responsibilities. Communicate to the folk, pass on the authority. That's what they did with Kennedy. They didn't have the luxury. When our president got shot, immediately they were doing something else. When we were going through 9/11 and they were running up Bush all over the country, they were still hiding Cheney someplace else. Why? You cover your leadership. You cover your position. Why? Is it because these are great people? There's nothing great about me or any other leaders here, except we occupy the position. We cover it. We are just as human as you. We face the same fears you face. We face the same challenges and we wrestle with our own inadequacies. We do that. The difference between you and I is that those happen in a moment and then we get on with our job. We don't have, as a matter of fact, we almost have to schedule it. I have an insecurity session I need to work on. Do I have enough time for some self-pity? We can't even allow anger or rage to hold us up. We can't indulge that. We got to get hot, get mad, and get on with it. Get hot, get mad, and get on with it. You all need to bow out for 6 weeks or 9 months or something. No, not a leader, because while you're nursing yourself, you're destroying everyone else. There's nothing great about us. We all feel what you feel. We have the same feelings. You don't love your family, your home, your kids any more than we do. The problem is our priorities are in order. And we love our God. You ought to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your strength. That's Bible. So God says, do you trust me? First of all, those are one of those 10 questions that you wish God would never ask. Number one, do you love me? I know the answer is yes, but I'm a... Do you trust me? Yes, Lord. Do you believe I can do anything? This is not getting better. Yes, I know you can do anything. Do you believe that I fill heaven and earth? Yes. Are you willing to serve me? Thought I was. I wasn't. Because you know, when he says, are you willing to serve me? That's when you really get ready to serve. And all that mother time, you was role playing. Does this help you? See, I'm calling this today is entering the mind of a leader. Because a leader thinks differently. They think your thoughts and then they think the solutions to your thoughts. Leaders think your thoughts and then think your solution or the solution that they have been assigned to bring to your thoughts so that you are perfected and equipped. To a leader, a problem it kicks off adrenaline. To a follower, a problem kicks off flight. Leaders fight, others flee. Is that real or what? And you know you get there. Some of y'all don't call in because y'all scared we're going to talk y'all into being encouraged. And you already made up your mind. You don't want to be encouraged. I don't want to overcome this. I don't want to conquer this. I don't want to overtake all. So you don't call us. We call you. The phone's on mute. Because then you can't lie, so you just turn it off. See, there are a lot of mind games people play that you think your leaders don't know. Because leaders are proactive. Proactive. That means we're acting or we are performing before the action that needs us. Frame. That means we contain things. We don't have folk all over the place. Leaders are about structure. We're about order. We're about this is your spot. What are you doing over there? Because we know if you're over there, you're either occupying something we can't fill or you're clashing with someone else. And clashing equals chaos. So we need you structured in your place. We need to set boundaries. Folk don't like boundaries. It's amazing. We live in boundaries all day, all week long and come to church and think they all should be gone. You know, don't tell me I got to sit over here. You do today because you're going to honor the leadership. Because if you're a leader, you don't have to be explained. Mm. See, God taught me something. He said, if I got to be telling you why I got to do this or why I need you to do this, then guess what? I don't need you. If I've got to explain to you why you need to be on time, then you're not a leader. If I've got to explain to you why you need to complete your job, then you're not a leader. Because certain fundamental things are clear to leadership. They're clear because they understand the position and they understand opposition. You'll never appreciate your position until you are thoroughly versed in its opposition.
Thank you for attending today's Sunday sermon with Dr. Paula Price. Don't forget to participate in Dr. Price's live, weekly, interactive radio talk show right here on Blog Talk Radio every Thursday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Central Standard Time. Again, that is www.blogtalkradio.com/Paula Price Show.